It's Wednesday, April the 10th, and you're tuned in to the Chanaby Podcast. I'm Vince.
I'm Anthony.
And this is the Geek Chic Culture Show. We talk about all the cool things in the whole wide universe. Welcome back to another week of fantastic podcasting entertainment, ladies and gentlemen.
This is the only podcast you should be listening to.
Yeah, I did an experiment this week.
What?
Because I really wanted to know how people listened to the show.
Okay.
And so I uploaded the show immediately to iTunes, but I have yet to do the video portion.
Oh.
And I wanted to know if people would still listen to it. And surprisingly, they did. And I know this because we got responses, listener questions and whatnot.
Yeah.
Don't worry, I'm going to put up the video later on, but I just wanted to know.
You mean the video of the single image?
Yes. Yes. The video audio content. I just didn't know how many people actually listened on YouTube versus
iTunes?
Just a direct feed, yeah.
Cool.
So, I wanted to know. So, there you go. If you're waiting on the YouTube version, sorry. But it seems like a lot of you bypassed that anyway.
Yeah. You found our secret feed that's publicly on iTunes that we've been doing since the beginning.
That's been found on all the popular podcasting platforms.
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
We got a lot of questions this week.
The first one is a Mac attack.
Yeah. It's stuck, baby. Yeah. It's stuck.
This one comes from Brian Mack. Hello. To recap from last week's question, my worst birthday gift is probably the time when I was a kid when my grandmother got me Chinese knockoff Mighty Morphin Power Rangers cannons that fell apart as soon as I took it out of the box. Sucks. Couldn't even play with it, man.
That reminds me. So, an ex-girlfriend saw that I was like collecting the Sailor Scout Figmas.
Yes.
And so she bought me Sailor Mercury.
Yes.
But she accidentally bought a Chinese bootleg version.
Oh no.
And I tried to play it off as like, oh wow, thank you. Like I didn't tell her that it was fake. And as soon as I took the stand out of the box,
yeah.
The stand snapped in half. And she's like, this is a knockoff, isn't it? I was like, yeah.
Well, at least you guys can laugh about it. Wow. It still gave me some fun, but disappointed me deep down. As for the best gift, I would have to be when my mom got me a clear original Game Boy.
Damn!
And the moment she found out games are sold separately.
He's like, here's this sweet Game Boy. Also, wait till next holiday so that you can get a game.
You mean those games aren't on the box?
That's when you gotta go to Chinatown and get those like 20-in-1 carts.
Yeah, but those didn't exist till like after the Game Boy was
true. Done. That was like Game Boy Color, Game Boy Advance.
Yeah, that's when you could go back and get the Game Boy all games in one.
Yeah, like at that point only multi-carts only really existed on the NES and Super Nintendo.
So there you go.
Oh well.
For this week's Mac Attack.
Yeah.
I want to know, what is your favorite go-to food to eat or cuisine if unable to decide? For me, it's the steamed spare ribs rice pot that they sell at dim sum.
Ooh.
Just my favorite ever since I was a child. Thank you. Brian, you must be Asian.
Nah. It's probably black.
Wow.
Just like African, like straight.
Oh, wow. Didn't realize African steamed rice is a...
Yeah. You never had African steamed rice?
No, I have not, sir.
Also, African chicken feet? Mwah! To die for.
I guess there are chickens in Africa. Why wouldn't there be, right?
Why wouldn't there? Chickens everywhere.
Well, I just feel like, why wouldn't you go for the ostrich? It's a bigger chicken.
It's a bigger chicken? They lay bigger eggs?
Yeah. favorite food or cuisine? What's your go-to food?
My go-to food, like, if we're going out to eat?
No, like, you're like, oh, I want to get food. This is my go-to food.
Like, cereal?
That's disgusting.
Yeah, no. If it's go-to food, it's just like pasta. Like, okay. I'll just cook up some, like, I'm very stereotypical in that sense. It's just like, if I want to cook something or I just want food, it's just like, okay, tomato sauce, pasta, let's go.
So Italian.
Easy peasy.
Disgusting.
Lemon linguine.
Wow.
What about you?
Chicken wings.
Chicken wings?
Chicken wings.
Okay.
Chicken wings are
so white.
Yeah.
Yeah? No. Guys, that was a joke.
No, it's chicken wings, right? Man. Especially when I get to choose sauces. Ugh. Chicken wings.
Chicken wings are pretty good.
Yeah, like if it's go-to, it's like I need to eat now.
Yes.
Chicken wings, maybe throw on a side of veggies, but it's chicken wings.
On the other end though, like if it's default, like we're gonna go out to eat, where do you want to go? My default is always Korean.
Yeah.
At least in this city. In the city we live in, it's just Korean. But if we're in Toronto, then it's ramen. That's always my default.
Yeah, I think I'd probably go with Korean as well.
Get a hot bibimbap. Probably butchered that pronunciation.
Yeah, you did.
But got that bibimbap.
No, that's all. Okay, good.
Bibimbap?
Sure. Sure.
I know I got the bop right.
Did you?
Did I?
Or is that the part that's wrong?
I don't know.
Maybe it's boop.
Bibimboop? Why is that funny? It just sounds funny. Bibimboop.
Yeah. That's how I'm gonna order it next time.
Yo, can I get a bibimboop? Wait, what? The fuck?
You heard me.
You know, bibimboop. How does he know about the secret menu? Okay.
All right. So yeah, I probably would agree. Yeah, Korean's probably the way to go.
Some S tier food over there.
Because every time you order Korean, you're always guaranteed variety.
Yeah.
And I say that's because it's just customary for them to give you the sides.
Yeah. You get those little tofu things. Yeah. You get the little beans.
You always get kimchi. You
get some kimchi.
You get fish cakes. You get seaweed.
Yeah.
You get
those little bean things that look like sperm.
Bean sprout?
Yeah. But they keep the seeds on them, so it just looks like sperm.
Oh, I thought you were talking about the actual beans when they give you like the sweet beans.
No, I'm talking about the white beans. Where it's got the little seed and it's got like the white connecting line.
Uh-huh.
Whatever that is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Glad that's what you think about when you're eating that
all
shit.
The time.
I'm absolutely glad that's what you're going for, man. Fuck, man. I didn't know you were thirsty. Like
it was 2019, all right. God. 2019.
Yeah, no, I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
Current year.
I didn't know you were so liberal with your choices here, man. Like,
yeah.
Thanks, Brian.
I don't think that's how you expected that answer to go.
There you go. So, our answers are...
Korean sperm beans.
That's exactly that's, what it is.
That's the one.
That's the go-to.
Go-to.
Oh, shit.
Korean sperm beans.
Extra saucy, please.
Oh, that's dumb.
All right. Next up, a question to chew on.
Sweet.
Paul Chew writes in... Like with Vince's Honda Civic story last week, what are the most stereotypical Asian-Italian things you have done, experienced, respectively?
Oh, this one is pretty old-school Italian, but it's also, like, sexist, I guess?
What you mean?
It's about my nonna. It's about my grandmother.
Oh, no.
So, back in Italy... Back in the day.
Oh, back in Italiano.
Yeah, back in Italiano. So this is, I'm going to preference this by saying, first off, she's already dead, so you can't lynch her.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is that she was born in a time, like, she is a woman who has never worn pants. Never. Because it's not ladylike.
Sure.
Like, right? So she has those traditional values. One time, I was walking into the kitchen after a dinner to help with the dishes. And my nunna yelled at me and hit me with the wooden sauce ladle. because she said, men shouldn't help wash the dishes.
Damn.
That is a woman's job.
Whoa.
And then proceeded to scold me.
Wow. Wow. Good stuff.
Yeah, that's probably the most WAP thing that's ever happened to
good
me.
Stuff. I don't know. I guess, like, I guess, I have many small Asian things.
Like your penis?
Yeah.
Oh! Yeah. Badum tish.
Wow. I'd call it wide.
Oh, wide? It's like a tuna can, okay?
Yeah, man.
It's not about the length. It's about the girth. You gotta fill the sides.
Exactly. That's all you need. That's all you need. Ask any woman.
I'm so sorry. I had a Pepsi. I think I'm high on sugar.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I really don't... Oh, I guess, okay, an easy one is... for as long as I can remember, I don't think I've ever heard my mom say that she loves me.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Right? But she always asks me, did you eat? Right?
Yeah.
So that's a pretty regular Asian thing, I would say.
Yeah. It's kind of like the, that's like the, I care about you. You should know this.
Yeah. I guess that's one thing. Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say. Like, I've abandoned so much of my culture. I forget half the things that are supposed to be my culture.
Damn.
I guess food. No, see, like, I don't know. Like, I could say, like, there's things I've consumed, but that's not out of my choice.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, if I tell you, like, oh, yeah.
I had bullet, like, you're like, okay, well.
Well, that's just whatever. Like, that's not stereotypical.
Yeah.
That I've done. Yeah.
Did you have, like, after school?
Like, I went to, like, Filipino school, but I don't know if that's...
Like, I went to Italian school.
So. Yeah, like, I guess the only thing I could say is, like, I take off my shoes when I get in the house.
That's
like,
Canadians, though.
Yeah, so, I don't know.
Just a side note, have you ever run into a thing where you've been guilted for not, like, embracing your culture more? By other people or by other Filipinos?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Everyone.
Like, it, not within your family. Like, outside of your family.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Everybody I meet, they find out that I'm Filipino, and they're like, you don't act like it. I'm like, because I try to avoid it.
You should never have that response. especially to other Filipinos.
Yeah, especially when they're older than you.
And yeah.
And so
whole, I don't like this shit.
It's the whole respect thing. Like,
yeah.
You know, it happened last week at work, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I met some girl. What is she? Accounting supervisor or something.
Oh, that's stereotypical.
Yeah, and she came back down to my desk and she's like, I have to teach you something. I'm like, okay, cool. She's like, oh my god, I didn't know you're Filipino. I'm like, yeah. I don't really advertise it.
I don't really advertise it. I feel like it's a detriment to my brand.
And she said, why? I'm like, because I was born in Canada. I don't really care about the Philippines.
Wow.
Like, I was just going for it. I'm like,
you just went for it.
Because by now she was like the fifth person at my company.
And you're tired of it?
To have this conversation with me. Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just kind of done with them. Like, let's just get through this work. I wanted to go. And she's like, huh. She's like, you know, you should really respect where you come from. And I'm like, oh my god.
Why?
I'm like, oh god, what did I do? I should have just nodded along in agreement.
Yeah. So like sometimes, because I asked you that because like even I get it to probably a way lesser degree than you.
Yeah.
But sometimes like other Italians, like pure blood Italians, will come up to me and be like, why don't you know Italian or like whatever? And I'm just like, I just never had interest. Right. Yeah. And it's always a weird conversation to have.
Yeah. Huh. I only feed into it when I know I get something out of it.
Yeah.
Right. Like, it's like, oh, you're going to do this for me if I just like play along and be like, okay, yeah, cool.
Oh, I thought you meant like you play into like shitting on it. No. If you know you're going to get a reaction.
No. Oh, I meant like, oh, you're going to do my job for me.
Oh, okay. Oh, yeah, Filipino pride, yeah.
Yeah, we stick together, blah, blah, blah.
Nice chanela.
Just call me up whenever. I'm like, okay, I will.
No problem. Yeah, yeah. I'll bring some pancit to the next potluck.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to do is, like, when they ask me if I can speak the language, I'll always respond no in the language.
Oh, and they're like, ha,
ha, ha. And then they're like, wait, what? I'm like, no, I can't talk it, sorry.
you gotta do the Family Guy thing.
Yeah.
Of just, like... I can only speak this one. Oh, and this one explaining that I can't speak it. And then just talk in English.
Yeah. So, yeah. I get that. Those are stereotypical culture things, I guess.
Yeah. I guess like, it's weird. Like, Italians don't really have, like, the stereotypical culture things anymore. Because, like, Guidos are kind of out of popularity. The mob isn't a thing anymore. And a lot of it is just like traditions, like I make wine and tomato sauce, like that's about as stereotypical as it gets, but it's not like a funny story.
Interesting. That's all I got, guys. Sorry.
How dare you? You know, you should really embrace your culture.
Oh, is this an intervention?
Take the mask off. I've been Filipino this whole time.
Oh my god, he's that way. Oh, that'd be cruel.
Life is cruel.
That would be so cruel. So cruel. Okay, picks of the week.
I think we had another one.
Did we?
Yeah.
From where?
from the, hold on, I'm looking for it.
Oh, you know why? Because when you read them, it doesn't show up on mine anymore.
Oh, okay. Yeah, Peter, like, Chang had,
unless
one.
You put it back to
the
right.
And then we had a talking on the John.
Did we?
Yeah. Yeah, talking on the, he sent it April 7th.
Okay, yeah.
Thoughts on the John. Taking into consideration the Jason I don't know how to pronounce this guy's name.
Yeah.
Schreier?
Sure.
Schreier?
Sure.
Of Kotaku, this dude on Kotaku.
Yeah.
About Anthem's development. He was basically told that Anthem's trailer in 2017 was barely put together. My question is, should game developers be expected to show the real product at these kind of events? The article states that the developers were unsure about the game that was going to be shown. I feel it's both bad for us and bad for the consumers and bad for the developers. I also feel this is just so different from showing a title like Metroid Prime 4, which doesn't make any unnecessary promises.
Oh, I see what he's saying.
So like how do you feel about pre-alpha just CG rendered footage, like concept art as here's our announcement type thing?
I think it's fine.
Really?
I think because, like, at the time when they put that out,
yeah,
for all they know, that could have been the ambition, that could have been the goal.
Yeah,
maybe it's not the ultimate product, but at the time, like at that moment in time, they showed something that they felt was representative.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's fine.
That's fair enough.
You know, like the his example of Metroid, that's just Nintendo being Nintendo.
Yeah, like, they're like, here's the thing. We'll release it when it's ready.
Yeah, like that, and like that's just how they do things. They want to be all, we're not going to show you anything. It's honestly kind of weird that Nintendo even announced it in the first place.
Yeah,
like the original Metroid Prime 4 announcement when they had nothing to show.
Yeah, especially since now they've delayed it.
Yeah, so it's kind of weird that they're telling you this whole story, but they have nothing to show that prove that these problems even existed.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a bit of an outlier in term. But yeah, in terms of like showing, you know, way pre-alpha stuff, I think it's fine. Like, if you want to, if you feel like you have something you want to share, you can share it. I don't think there's an issue with that.
That's fair. Yeah. I sometimes I'm a little torn on it, mainly because, not from like a consumer standpoint, because if the game is bad, like, I don't really care. I'm not going to buy it, right? Like, I'm not in the situation where I pre-order games really anymore, unless it's like I want some collector's edition.
Yeah.
So something like that wouldn't really bother me. I think it's more so just to the detriment of the developers, strictly. Because there's only backlash if you don't meet that original trailer, right?
Of course.
Like, you promised us this amazing 3D, like, 4K experience with individual cloth mat, whatever, right? Like, they'll just throw it, whatever. And I think that just puts unnecessary stress on the developers, right? They're gonna be working hard, and help, like, Lord knows that game developers work very hard, especially all the overtime they put in.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just this unnecessary layer of stress, I feel. Like, I understand the marketing machine has to be a thing. Like, people have to know that you're working on a thing that seems exciting. But there's probably different ways to show it rather than like, here's like any sort of pre-rendered footage.
Because
that's immediately going to be compared to the final product, which will never compare.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm not really mad about them doing it. I understand why they do it.
Yeah.
I just think from a morale standpoint, like a team morale standpoint, I think it's a bad idea.
Mm. Well, probably.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear the story about, remember that game Star Wars, was it 2121?
Oh yeah, where it had the year on it, yeah.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Did you ever hear the story about, I think the trailer was like some guy going through a corridor and it looked really cool.
Yeah, it looks super cool, yeah.
Do you ever hear the story behind that?
No.
I think it was like the week before they were going to reveal that, because it was revealed at what, E3, I think?
Yeah, maybe a couple years ago.
George Lucas still held the license to Star Wars. He came by and he saw what they were making. He's like, I don't want that.
Oh, really?
And he said, I don't want this character. Put someone else in there. Because it wasn't supposed to be about that. Like, he basically revamped the whole idea and philosophy for the game.
Because he owns the IP.
And so the trailer they put together was just a whole bunch of assets that aligned with his vision.
Wow.
Yeah. And then the game got canceled.
And the game got canceled because they're like, we've already been in development for this game forever.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. I like hearing stories like that.
Just where
like,
just one dude comes in and just steamrolls a project and is like, y'all suck.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're doing, but fuck this.
Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
That's ridiculous.
Good stuff.
That's the same.
Yeah.
And I think we had one from Peter.
Peter.
Did we make a question one for like a question to chew on, like that kind of thing for Peter? I can't remember.
Not that I know of.
Yeah. This one is about Death, Love, and Robots, and I just want to say, did we finish it? Did you finish Death, Love, and Robots?
No,
neither did I.
I'm
so I feel we should wait on this question.
Four episodes in. Well, the thing is, he calls out stuff, but I think it's worth saying that his question is basically, what are your favorite episodes?
Yeah,
and that he lists his, and I think here we should probably say that the show actually has a randomized viewing order.
Yeah, per user. I didn't know that.
So the episodes he lists the episodes by number.
Yeah,
and that kind of doesn't really help us.
True. He has like a couple things like where he has
the titles
in brackets. Yeah. But
to be honest, I can't remember the titles for half these things. Same. Yeah. So,
I think once we finish it, I think we're both in the midst of watching it.
Yeah.
We'll
I just started to, today, so
yeah, we'll be able to answer it more.
Yeah.
And then he also mentions what your thoughts are on the new Seiko Gundam line. Of watches. Yeah, Gundam watches.
Watches.
What are these?
So these are watches.
Okay, I get that, but why?
Okay, so do you know, are you familiar with the brand Seiko?
Yes.
What do you think of when you think of Seiko in terms of a watch brand?
In terms of a watch, I think of like what they use at tournaments to do time trials or laps and stuff.
Oh, really? Is that
like swim laps?
Really? They're sponsored by Seiko?
Are they? I don't know. That's what I think of.
Okay. So I guess in the watch world, Seiko is the premier Japanese watch brand.
Really? Like numero uno?
Kind of.
Okay.
Yeah. And Seiko is only one of two watch brands in the world who are wholly independent. As in, everything they make, they can say they put together are all by themselves. There's only one other watch brand in the world with this status, and that's Rolex.
Okay.
So that gives you background. So the only difference with Seiko is what they do is they like to capitalize on the entry level market. Right? So like their main focus is we're gonna hit everybody who wants to spend like 100 to 1,000, and that's our target audience.
Okay.
Okay. Seiko also has another line where they're just like, fuck it, we're going high end. It's called Grand Seiko. And these are more in line with luxury Swiss pieces. So you're looking at like $8,000 to $10,000.
Mm-hmm.
For Gundam's 40th anniversary, I think the Gundam Group, whatever, Bandai, they got in collaboration with Seiko because Seiko's the big Japanese watch brand.
Yeah.
They're like, let's put something together. It's the 40th anniversary. Let's celebrate. So what Seiko did was they basically made a watch that looks like a normal Seiko.
Okay.
But inside they put in their highest level movement.
Wait, so it's like stealth Seiko? Like,
yes. It doesn't say Grand Seiko. There's nothing on this watch that signifies that it is their high end Seiko.
Okay.
Except for like one piece of text that most people won't even see. And then they also switched the colors enough and stuff to match the Gundam.
Oh, okay.
So what you have is a watch that, I think the watch looks cool. Thing is, it looks like an entry-level Seiko, but inside it is the most high-end Seiko there is.
It's the sleeper car of watches.
You got it, only it's painted like a Gundam.
That's crazy.
Yeah, I think it's super cool. It's 700,000 yen. So quick math, I think in American monies, that's about $7,000?
Yep.
Maybe a little bit less, a little bit more. And for Canadians, that's about $9,000.
Yeah, it's not cheap.
Yeah, so if you want this Gundam watch, there you go. It's out there. I think it's cool. I'd like one, but I'd never get one because it's limited to 300 pieces. And by the time I can afford one,
they'll be gone. They'll be worth triple.
More or less, yeah. So there you go. It's a cool watch, though.
What is it with Japan and just releasing these like one-off, super limited, random shit? Because I remember for the release of Devilman Crybaby, they released, Japan or like whatever, some company in Japan released a limited like 1,000 bottle, like 40-year-old whiskey.
Nice.
For not 40, it's probably something shorter than that. Like, but to celebrate the anniversary of Devil Man, they released like a Devil Man whiskey.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm just like, why? Who
why
wants
not?
This?
Why not?
Also, fair point. Also, why not?
Japan is probably like, yeah, that country is definitely all about the limited edition.
Yeah, they are. And yeah, that's like, true.
This is the limited gashapon. You were going
to
want it.
I think when we were there and went to Lawson's, they had like limited onigiri. Like, yeah. I think they do like their limited edition one time only type things. It's true.
Take this limited mystery bag. Yeah, so I don't know. That's just Japan. Anyways, yeah, Gundam Watch, look it up. There's two other lesser models in the style of Zaku's.
They're not grand.
They're not grand. They're about half the price. Okay. You're looking at like $3,000.
They should make a Char watch, but it always runs fast.
Whoa.
Like it's not accurate. It's just fast on purpose.
I don't know if I would like that.
Yeah.
Oh man.
It's just he's the red commie. It's just fast on purpose.
Like it's going 3 seconds instead
of
one.
Yeah.
Oh man. That'd be fucking cool. It'd be useless though. Yeah.
What time is it? I don't know. Let me check my phone.
Let me check my watch divided by 3. Yeah, okay. Sure. Cool. Those were all the questions. Thanks for writing in, everybody.
Yeah, it's great.
Thanks for listening. Picks of the Week is what we're up to now.
Yeah. You want me to go or do you want to go?
No, mine's quick. The Lion King, mm-hmm. 2019 live action CG movie, had a trailer. Its first trailer.
Yeah. We saw this.
It's crazy.
It looks weird.
It looks weird, and yet I'm so hype.
Are you?
I am.
Because to be honest, like, The Lion King is one of those movies where I watched it as a kid and I remember loving it, but I have zero desire to go back and watch it again.
Oh, absolutely. I don't need to watch the movie again.
Like, I have, like, I Just Can't Wait to Be King on my iPod.
Yeah.
Every time it comes on, I skip that shit. Like, because wow. I know. Wow. I understand.
Wow. Yo, Simba would be disappointed.
He probably would, but you know what?
What?
Doesn't matter.
But this time it's gonna be what's his face singing that? The Gambino?
Childish Gambino?
Yeah. He'll be singing it this time.
Not Danny Glover. Donald Glover.
Donald Glover. He'll be singing it this time.
Okay.
No, but it's weird because it's just shot for shot. Like it is identical to the original. This has divided fans. Cause on one hand it's like, well, what's the point of the remake then? If it's the exact same movie. Where on the other hand, it's, oh my god, it's the exact same movie. They didn't ruin it.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know where you guys lie on that side of the fence, but whatever. I think it's cool. I think it looks cool.
I'm trying to think of like the process of them filming this movie, because everything is CG, everything except for the landscape.
Mm-hmm.
So all this makes me think is that they hired like the whatever Disney's like Earth porn movie is,
yeah,
Planet Earth,
yeah, sure,
and they're like, all right, go to the savannah, film a bunch of shit, and then come back,
yeah,
and we'll CG it all in after. Like all the raw footage of this movie is just landscape shots.
Yeah, it's not the first time in movie history that's done. Like a lot of movies are done that way.
It's just weird to think of.
Yeah
it's just weird to like just imagine like a camera crew being like, oh, we're gonna film this epic scene here. Well, and then all you're seeing is like,
yeah,
a like the Windows XP screensaver.
Yeah, I mean, like, think about like when they do the Transformers movies, right? Like when they film, they just have a ball rolling in the air.
Yeah,
and that's like Optimus's face.
Yeah, I think I just only thought about it because this is strictly CG, like there's no humans in it. Yeah. And that's where it really came to mind. I'm like, oh, like this is just, they're just filming land.
It's a technique that's been used for a very long time.
That's weird. It's so weird.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's weird.
It's all right. I mean, it's whatever.
Okay.
Like, yeah. Like, what do you think happens when they're doing the Aladdin movie and the genie goes to CG, right? Like, yeah, that they're just filming a scene.
Yeah, true. They're just but because there are real people in that movie, like that thought never came to my mind.
Yeah. It's just hitting you now.
Yeah, it's just hitting me now. Wow. Like, it's just like, oh, this is strictly landscape.
Like, how did you get through half of the Marvel movies? I don't know. Because you know, like, Iron Man's all CG, right?
Fuck. Are you telling me that they didn't build that suit?
You know, like, that first one where he's flying around? Like, they're just filming the sky. You
when
know
the Hulk
that, right?
went through that skyscraper?
Oh, shit. That's right. That's all CG.
You're telling me that wasn't real? They didn't really demolish a skyscraper?
Well, I don't know. They might have thrown a ball through it to create the...
It's a scale model.
Yeah, that's probably what happened.
Man.
Then they added more disaster in it with the CG.
But they could do it in the 90s.
What the fuck are you talking about?
Remember Hard Boiled? Remember when they had that giant shooter in a hospital, just blew the hospital up?
Yeah, I mean, there is something to be said about, like...
Remember the Dark Knight when the Joker blew a hospital up?
Yeah, no, you're right. There is something to be said about using, like live... Like, real stunts and props.
Yeah.
But.
I guess.
There's certain things you can't do.
Like, blow up a skyscraper.
And the one where they did for the Joker blowing up, I think that's because that building was decommissioned.
It was gonna be demolished anyways. Yeah. They just got lucky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
They didn't build a hospital and then blow it up. Like.
Yeah. So. Man, but that's the stress. That's one take.
Yeah.
That's one
take.
Yeah. Jeez. Yeah. Okay. There you go, The Lion King.
Looks cool.
Yeah.
Will I see it? Probably not.
You will.
Will I?
You will.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Okay.
It's going to be a date night movie.
You're right. You're right!
What girl's not going to be like, let's go see The Lion King?
I'll be like, fuck! Okay.
Yes.
If it makes the harem happy.
Wow.
I'm joking. It's a joke.
The Circle of Life song is going to come on with the Nala
scene.
Circle
of Life.
Yeah.
Is that all you got?
I think so.
Okay, I got a couple things.
SpaghettiO.
Oh, SpaghettiO is right. One is just a quick like shout out. Polygon has a really great Devil May Cry 5 interview out with the director. It's just a really good interview. I read it, learned a lot of interesting things.
About Devil May Cry
or the director? About the director, about like working at Capcom. Like, it's just a good interview. That's it.
Yeah.
I just want to mention that.
Okay.
The next one is Silicon Era has reported that Tencent's Monster Hunter Online is gonna end this year. It's over. So back in 2015, Tencent had worked with Capcom and they created Monster Hunter Online. I think we've mentioned it on the podcast before. I've definitely mentioned the Monster Hunter game that has Tanfas and just lets you fly pretty much. And all that wild stuff, and they have like all kinds of crazy monster designs.
Yeah.
But they have mentioned that the contract that the Tencent had with Capcom is up, and Capcom decided not to renew. So if you're playing that game, if you already have an account, you can play until the end of the year. If you don't have an account, tough cookies, you can't play that game anymore. You're not allowed to make a new account anymore.
Mm.
So I think that's kind of like the end of an era in terms of Monster Hunter. But it also makes me wonder if Capcom, because of the success of Monster Hunter World, has anything planned for something like this. Like a Monster Hunter MMO where like dedicated can go and just like pay a monthly fee, Final Fantasy style, and just constantly get new monsters. And this could be like a testing ground for their retail.
Huh. Interesting.
You're right?
I don't know.
I don't think Capcom's ever made an MMO. So I don't know if maybe they probably wouldn't publish it in-house, but...
They would. I can see the future.
You can see the future? They would? Yeah?
Yeah, Monster Hunter MMO. It's gonna have all the features you want. Except...
Controller support.
Mobile.
Oh no. Monster Hunter Mobile. You tricked me. Is Monster Hunter Stories the MMO?
Oh my god.
Oh no. So yeah, that's the thing. If you guys haven't seen Monster Hunter Online, I recommend checking it out if you're a fan of Monster Hunter. It's just cool. Like all the stuff they put in there, it looked like it was... It was strictly like a testing ground. Like, let's just put in the wildest ideas, if they work or not. Mm-hmm. Here's some crazy monsters. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one of them is just the Ouroboros, like the world snake.
Mm-hmm.
And the arena is the monster. And you said drop in from like a hot air balloon. It's really cool. There's a lot of really cool ideas in it. Yeah. I recommend checking it out. But yeah, so that's kind of the end of an era. But the main one I want to talk about is the fantastic meme that's been happening lately.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you not only cheated the game, but you cheated yourself. So first of all, I just want to get the meme out of the way, because this meme is fantastic. The amount of jokes and just great gifts that have come out of this meme is so good.
Mm-hmm.
But for people who don't know, this meme originally came from a tweet. I forget who by. I believe it's just a random user or maybe someone within the gaming sphere.
Yeah.
But in response to, was it PC Gamer?
Kotaku?
Was it Kotaku? There's a lot of articles about the topic, but it was one specific article. I couldn't find it while I was searching earlier.
Oh, maybe it was PC Gamer.
I think it was PC Gamer. But the headline was, I defeated the final boss of Sekiro with cheats.
Yeah.
And I feel fine.
Mm-hmm.
And in response, this guy just puts up this real edgelord shit
mm-hmm.
of just like, you not only cheated the game, but you cheated yourself. You didn't grow. You didn't learn and blah, blah, blah. And all this stuff. The thing is, though, is like, I get where he's coming from, and it has created a larger discussion around difficulty in games, and I think this is a really interesting topic that I kind of just want to talk about. And basically, what people are saying is like, Sekiro is a hard game,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's hard enough to where not everyone is going to be able to play it, not everyone is going to be able to beat it, and it's just not accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And what a lot of people are saying is that like, all games should have easy modes. That is the general consensus I'm finding.
Okay.
Or on the other hand is all games should have accessibility options, which I am not opposed to. I'm not opposed to making your game accessible. Like if you need button remapping, if you need alternate controller support, colorblind modes, stuff like that. Like
mm-hmm.
being able to make your game accessible is important.
Yeah.
The part where I don't agree is the people who are conflating difficulty with accessibility.
Okay.
Where they're saying that this game should just have an easy mode because an easy mode never hurt anybody. And if you want, you can play on the higher difficulty. It doesn't affect your gameplay.
Right.
And I feel while technically that is true and that is correct, there is something to say about games as a medium having the very unique feature of certain types of barriers and difficulty barriers. Like there is nothing stopping you other than your own nerves from sitting through a movie, right?
Wow.
Like at no point, like unless you just go blind mid movie, right? Like a rogue popcorn kernel hits you in the eye, it's done. You can experience the whole thing, good or bad, where a lot of the experience you get from a game is actually playing it. And if your experience is bad because it's super hard and you can't beat it,
yeah,
it's kind of a unique thing only to games. And the reason I don't agree with why games should have, like the thought of why games should have an easy mode, because I think this is one of the things that makes games really unique in terms of testing the player. And rewarding, I guess, is like dedication to the hobby kind of a thing.
Wow.
I know, right?
Did you just say that?
Like, wow. I couldn't think of a
better... You sound like such an elitist.
I know,
prick.
I couldn't think of a better way to say it. Like, I'm trying to think of something where, like, the experience of having a really hard game is something so unique to games, and I don't think that developers should be forced to like lessen what they wanted the game to be or alter what they want the game to be in order to make it accessible to everybody, because I don't think all games should be for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like fighting games is a fantastic example. Like I love fighting games. I got pretty good at Street Fighter 4, but the thing is like I'm never going to be good at like Guilty Gear.
Yep.
Just straight up. Guilty Gear is too much. It's too wild. The amount of rules, the technical skill that takes to getting into Guilty Gear, I don't have the skill for that.
Right.
But the thing is like, I don't expect the developer to make some sort of easy mode or like, just like a mode where I don't really have to practice or get good. In order to compete in tournaments or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. It's just brought up a really interesting discussion around Twitter. It's been like actually very divisive.
Yeah. I don't know if the fighting game is a good example though. Because difficulty on fighting games is usually based on a real life opponent.
Well, difficulty in fighting games is also based on whether or not you can do combos. Like combos are a thing, right?
Yeah.
Like, I guess if it's two equal opponents who also don't know how to do anything, like that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, I see where you're coming from. It's not necessarily...
Like, I can't go to an easy mode, or I can't go to a tournament and be like, is this an easy mode tournament? Like,
yeah,
I can't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
That's fair. But... Mm-hmm. Trying to make it so that, like, you can use a certain control scheme mm-hmm. that makes it easier for you to compete mm-hmm. against people of equal skill level. Mm-hmm. Kind of a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. Like, what are your thoughts on this topic, because I don't know, I just think it's very interesting for people who play games.
I think it's fine if all games have easy modes. I don't know. Yeah, like, you know what, there's a lot of games I play that have easy modes, but I don't pick them.
Yeah,
like in my head, like, I always, it doesn't matter, like, I play the game on the standard difficulty because in my head it's like that's what the developer wanted, so I'm gonna play it this way. Mm-hmm. It's like when I watch anime and I'm like, oh yeah, I'm gonna watch it with subs. Because I'm like, listen, the studio, they're Japanese. They had it this way. Maybe the localization isn't spot on, but mm-hmm. that's the closest I'm going to get.
Yeah.
As this is the closest difficulty I'm going to get. There's other options available. I could choose to use them.
Yeah. Like Sekiro has dubs and subs.
And yeah.
Stuff, yeah.
Or, and I see the same with difficulty. Like, it's there, whatever. Yeah, I don't know. I don't mind it. Like, if it's there, it's there. Like, it doesn't really affect my experience. Like, if I was someone who was very bad at games, but I just really wanted to play it, yeah, I think I'd want it.
Hmm.
I mean, I think an easy mode is a form of accessibility. Like, I think it can be, you know, like, say, maybe I don't have the hand-eye coordination, maybe I don't have the dexterity.
Yeah.
Why not have an easy mode? Like, I don't see the issue there. Hmm. It's not a... Like, I understand your point of, like, this is their vision, this is what they want, this is how they want to be, and playing games, if you can't beat it, that should be part of the experience. Like, I totally get that, but at the same time, I don't think there's any harm in allowing more people who would normally not be able to experience this kind of stuff mm-hmm. to give them that opportunity.
Yeah, my issue isn't really with having an easy option. Like, it's not necessarily, like, if a developer has, like, in their game, it's just like easy, medium, hard, or whatever. Like, sure. Play it on whatever you want. That's why people tout their, like, I beat all the Halos on legendary type things.
Yeah.
Right? But the consensus I was getting, at least from Twitter, was that it should be something that is forced. Like, even if a developer doesn't, like, if a developer wants to make a hard game, kind of like, fuck you. Like, it should be easy. Like, you have to do this to appeal to a certain base of people, right? And that's where I have the issue.
Okay.
Of, like, if came out with Mega Man, right? And they came out Mega Man 12, and they decided, like, listen, we're going back to old school Mega Man, just, like, some real hard shit.
Yeah.
Like, that is their decision.
Mm-hmm.
And I would never be like, put an easy mode in there or else you're a piece of shit. Like,
oh, okay. So the conversation is having a mandatory requirement for all.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. No, I don't think that should be. I think a developer should be able to make a game they want to make.
Yeah.
If they don't want to have the easy mode in there, then they don't want to have one. That's fine. But at the same time, if I want to use cheats to beat their game, then whatever. I use cheats to beat their game.
Yeah.
Like, that's, I made that choice. It's okay.
So on the, now into the more, like, I guess, nuanced portion of the topic, like, what do you feel, how do you feel about, like, people who are paid to write about games and stuff like that, using cheats to get through things? Because, like, I remember when IGN reviewed God Hand. As a kid, I loved that game. And I still love it to this day. But I think at the time, IGN had given, like a 2 or a 3 or something.
Yeah.
And the person reviewing the game openly admitted that they just didn't beat the game because it was too hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that the outlet got someone else to do it. Yeah. They're just like, I didn't finish it. Like, to me, that kind of pissed me off, because that's like, if I were to watch The Godfather, fall asleep 30 minutes into it, wake up at the credits and be like, I guess it was good, whatever, 4 out of 10, who cares, right?
Yeah.
And this guy who beat the final boss in Sekiro, he didn't use any sort of method that was within the game itself. He used an outside program to like half the frame rate, so the game ran at half speed.
So it was easier for him.
So it was easier for him to dodge and roll and do whatever. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. It's weird. It's like it's definitely a case by case thing. Like the God Hand one. Okay, from the outset, I think that you should be able to. You should see the game through. You should see from start to finish, yeah. No matter how you get there. I think that should always be a requirement if you're going to give your opinion on something. I can't speak to the Godhead one, but for the PC Gamer one, I guess you use cheats on the final boss. Mm-hmm. Is that the article? I don't know. I think it's fine, because at the end of the day, like, what you're going to be speaking to is, and it's like everything, right? And when it comes to games, you're never really there for the beginning, and you're never really there when you reflect on your time with it. It's never about the end. It's always about, like, the middle portion.
There are specific games where I think about the end and stuff like that.
Yeah, you think
about the end. But it's very rare.
Yeah, and you think about the end from like a narrative point, or maybe it was a cool sequence, but any game you pick up, you're always thinking about what were you doing, like in an RPG. Mm-hmm. Like the beginning, the end can be cool, but most of my time is thinking about how did I build my characters.
In the middle.
Yeah, what did we do half the time? Like, what was the general flow of this game that I was always like, what was the rinse and repeat sort of things are going through? And I think for Sekiro, I'm pretty sure it's more or less just like progress to the new stage, boss, level up, weapon, blah blah blah, and it's more of that. And like, how did you find that progression? Mm-hmm. And when you get to the end, if something's just too hard and you need to get around it to beat it, then nah, that's fair.
Okay,
like I think it's okay. Like
you feel as long as you've experienced the majority.
Yeah,
then maybe just like. If for you to like, especially because it's your job, you feel like just to like, if you need an extra help to like edge it along, then
yeah, okay, I think that's fine. I mean, it's also like TV shows, right? Like everyone knows in a TV show, the season finale is where the big shit happens.
Yeah,
but at the end of the day, when you rate a season, you're not rating it on the ending or the beginning. You're rating about how everything strung together,
right? And culminated to that ending.
Exactly. Yeah. So like, that's how I see it. So I think it's okay. I think it's fine.
I think for me, it was really weird because I did read articles from that publication. I don't remember if they were specifically from this person, but just like adoring the combat in Sekiro, just being like, this is it's a masterpiece of offense and like whatever, just like glowing reviews.
Mm-hmm.
And then to have, again, someone from the same outlet or if not the same person, to then come around and be like, oh, it's so great. It's such a good game, and like the combat's amazing. But also, I cheated it, because I didn't want to deal with this.
Yeah, like right? I understand that argument, but like it's just like anything in life, right? Like you can love something, but sometimes you can't do it, no matter how much you love it. Like for example, like I could take this example and move to something else, right? And I could be like, I love riding my bike, and I think I'm pretty competent at it, but I know I'll never be world tour level.
Yeah, you'll never beat me on uphill.
Sure, sure, that's what you want to say.
No.
If that's the example, you sure, right? Does that mean that I think that, what do you call it? I'm not gonna, but that doesn't mean that I'm not gonna be like, oh, you know, like fuck this shit, you know, blah blah blah. I took steroids to beat you, blah blah blah. Like, you know, that doesn't mean that my love for said sport is any diminished because I found something that I physically couldn't do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I think there's a fine line between like just being passionate for something, but also admitting or like accepting the fact that maybe you, no matter how much love and dedication you put into something, you're just never gonna do it.
It's really interesting though that you bring up the topic of like steroids and physical sports, where like I could be that person. I could be like the guy who got drafted into the NFL, but just like Tom Brady is so good at being a quarterback, how do I catch up to this person? It's like, well, he's just genetically gifted to be a good quarterback, so what do? Well, like technically
I cheat.
I take steroids, I take drugs or whatever, right? And people kind of get really pissed about that, like,
oh, obviously
ruined Lance Armstrong's career. And it's really weird to see, I don't know, just different forms of cheating have different standards, I guess.
Well, I think the difference, okay, the example I use may not be good because cheating in a sport, like when you compete at a sport, you agree that you won't cheat.
Yeah.
If you're cheating to beat a game for a review, I don't think like, especially if it's a singular game that mm-hmm. just affects you. I think, and
if it that's the thing, if it just affects me, then whatever, right? Yeah. Like, if I want to play Halo with Infinite Life and, yeah. and I'm just chilling, like, sure. But if I'm paid professionally to give my opinion on a certain product that other people will take seriously and use their money on,
yeah,
then is cheating a detriment to your mm-hmm. to your validity, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean it depends on it's all about the context, right? He cheated because the game was hard. Mm-hmm. But I'm pretty sure throughout the whole thing everyone knows this game is hard.
Yeah. Like
that is one of this game's selling points.
Like that's just from software.
They yeah, hard so games. Like so he cheated to beat the ending because it was hard. I think that only adds to the fact that, like, listen, this game is hard. You want a mm-hmm. hard game, this is the one to get.
Like, yeah. yeah, I get that. Like, just, like, it does, like, cement, like, hey, this game is hard. Like, yeah. this guy who plays games...
Had a tough time.
Had a tough time. I guess the thing that rubbed me the wrong way is, like, that he had to write an article that was, like, but it's okay. Right, like it almost makes me believe like he wasn't fine with it. Like, if I want to get into like conspiracy theory shit,
I think you're thinking a little too deep. Yeah, now. Yeah.
I think I've gone like one Inception level too far.
Yeah, I think you just need to pull it back, yeah. take it for its face value, just be like, listen, the game's fucking hard. I couldn't beat it, so I found a way around.
And now I feel okay.
And I saw the end, and I'm like, guys, this game's worth it.
Even to half the game speed. Yeah, it's just a really interesting topic about accessibility in games and stuff like that. I want to bring it up.
Cool.
But yeah, the whole notion of people saying that all games should have difficulty options,
mm-hmm.
like mandatory, mm-hmm. I just cannot agree with that.
Yeah, sentiment. I think everybody should be allowed to make whatever game they want to make. If that means that there's no easy mode, there's no easy mode. If there's one, there's one. But yeah.
Yeah. Cool.
Neato. On to our weeks.
Yeah.
I forgot something I did on the plane ride from when I came back from Iceland. I watched a movie.
A movie?
I watched a movie called The Secret Life of Walter Mitty.
Okay. Oh, I haven't heard that movie in forever.
Did you watch this movie?
No.
I watched it because I was like, well, what's this shit about?
Okay.
And it's about a guy who has a really wild imagination. Like, very... He tends to zone out, and then he has, like, these crazy vivid imagination that kind of consumes... him. And you find out through the movie that like his whole life he's just kind of like done really nothing with it, or not nothing, but like he's kind of got himself into a, you know, an office gig, and he lives a quiet life, mm-hmm. and like someone that he continuously corresponds with is like this wildlife photographer, and he's always telling him writing him stories about like all his amazing adventures, and that's why his mind stems to all these places. Anyways, circumstances happen and he goes on an adventure.
Like, he actually goes on an adventure.
Like, he actually goes, and it's basically it's a very sort of like it's a cute little uplifting story about like to how you should just chase your dreams, like if there's an opportunity, just take it, and how you should just say yes and blah blah blah. And it's it kind of gets cheesy at times, but it's almost like it's okay because it's like whatever, you want a movie to make you feel happy and just to inspire you, like that's the type of movie it is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're not gonna come out of this being like, oh, it's a tearjerker, or like
yeah,
but you might be like, oh, that's kind of meaningful. It's kind of like, maybe I should reevaluate my life, maybe I should take a chance on something.
It's very inspirational.
Yeah, and you're just like, this, that could be fun.
Nice.
Yeah, so it was a fun movie to watch. I started Love, Death, and Robots. That's a cool series.
Yep. I think we have the same episode.
Order,
yeah.
So it's pretty cool so far. Some of the CG looks incredible.
Yeah. Especially in that first episode we watched.
Wow.
With the monster death battle arena.
Holy cow.
That looks amazing.
Yeah, man. Some of the CG is insane. So I did that, and then the second thing I watched was, I started Netflix's Ultraman.
Okay.
You want to talk about CG that does not look great?
Shit.
Damn.
God damn it.
Go watch Netflix's Ultraman. I mean, that's not true. The quality of the CG is fine. Like, it's got smooth frame rates, really well done character models. It just feels so... You know when you see CG in anime and you're like, oh, they did that because they were on a budget?
Yeah.
That's what it feels.
This is the whole show.
The whole show's like, oh man, we did this because it was a budget decision.
Interesting.
But at the same time, it mimics like live action pretty well in terms of its movements. I don't know. A part of me is like, okay, if I stop looking at this as if it were supposed to be an anime and just thought this is supposed to be live action, kind of felt better.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know what? I'd be way more into Tokusatsu if it was done like the CG. Like, I'd be way more into Kamen Rider and shit if it was...
If it wasn't live action?
Yeah, if it was if it was the Netflix Ultraman CG. Because it pulls a lot of... Like, it does a lot of the same shit that the Tokusatsu does. You know, like, we're watching, like, Kamen Rider, and there's an explosion, and, like, something hits the ground.
Yeah.
You see all these fireworks, but is there any damage on the actual setting? No.
Oh, but if it happens in Ultraman...
Well, no, that's the thing.
Oh.
Ultraman does all these, like, you know that entrance where, like, Iron Man comes in and he punches the ground?
Yeah.
They do that a lot in Ultraman, and, like, dust kicks up everywhere and blah, blah, blah. But when it all settles and clear, there's no damage to the floor.
Oh, wow, they keep it Tokusatsu.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, it's 100% like that. Like, there's a lot of gun shooting and stuff, a lot of smoke.
Yeah.
But then when the dust settles, it's like, oh, no, nothing's really it's damaged. Okay. Yeah. Slight spoiler, some guy gets an arm right through him.
Yeah.
But the model isn't affected after he pulls the arm out.
Oh.
Right? Like, it might be slightly darker in there, but there's, like, no hole in the body. There's nothing happening. Like, it's that...
It just sparks and then explodes?
Okay. Yeah, it's that kind of weird CG, you know? It's like, the characters look great, but the backgrounds just... They couldn't give a fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're hoping that the characters are doing enough action to where you're not looking at the background.
Yeah, and to be fair, the action's pretty good. I'm super into it because Ultraman's got an Iron Man suit, and that makes him cooler in my eyes.
Nice.
And the story's really neat. It's, you know, it's, yo, Ultraman had a kid.
Yeah.
And that kid is Superman, so go for it.
Super and Ultra, tag team together.
Yeah, yeah. So it's been pretty fun. And then was I playing anything else? I can't remember. I'm searching my heart. Nope.
Nothing.
I went to a toy show. That's what I did.
Okay.
Sold a lot of toys. Done.
Done. That's it. Over.
Yeah, it was a good toy show.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see, like, yeah, I'm looking around the recording room right now. Yeah. And it's a disaster area.
Yeah.
But it kind of looks like you have more stuff.
Yeah.
Because just the way it's all sorted. Yeah. Like, I kind of missed the wall.
Yeah.
Like looking at this broken down wall, I'm like, oh, man.
The wall will be back. Because I have more than enough boxes to make a wall
still. To make a wall still?
Yeah.
Like, you need a backdrop for that YouTube channel you got.
You know, I might just make them all Gundams.
And then never build a Gundam?
Yeah. 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 Yeah, yeah. I ordered a lighting kit.
What? For what?
I don't know.
Wait, what? Don't you already have the lighting kit for the unicorn?
No, I meant I ordered, like, video lighting kit. Like, like umbrellas.
Oh, like umbrella lights and stuff.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Damn.
It was like $70.
That's not bad at all.
Yeah, I was like, I'll try it out. We'll see what happens.
See what happens? Okay.
Yeah.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's your week?
That's my week. All
right. My week has been pretty barren. Me and my friend, we marathoned Crackdown.
Oh.
Start to finish. One sitting. Xbox 360.
Whoa.
Crackdown Uno. Because my friend really loves Crackdown. Like, he loves it. And I was like, okay, if you love it so much, and generally he doesn't like a lot of things.
Yeah.
I was like, I want to see why you love this game so much. And I had never played it. We tried it once before. Mm. And I think we got to the third island and ran out of time.
Yeah.
So first off, the universe did not want us to play this game.
Absolutely not.
We tried to set up our Xboxes. First off, it wasn't reading one of his discs. Then, we tried to log into to one of the profiles he had. It somehow logged him out. He couldn't figure out his password to his profile, and then it locked him out. Then, whoa, on the secondary hard drive he had, he finally remembered it, but it didn't have any of the save files from our previous run.
Whoa.
So then I used my Xbox and my hard drive, started up a new file, bought the $5 DLC for Crackdown 1.
Wow.
And we played Crackdown 1 from start to finish after like an hour of trying to set it up.
Whoa.
We used System Link. We didn't have Xbox Live.
All right, Xbox Live.
Yeah. And yo, that game's super fun.
Did you collect all the orbs?
I did not. Fool. I collected enough to get the 4-star agility or whatever.
Yeah.
And that was about it. I got 4-star agility and 4-star strength, and then we beat the game.
Oh, so you guys could just jump around and punch.
Jump around and punch stuff and then just absorb bullets.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I think I got exactly 10 points in driving.
Nice.
But that game is super fun. It's insanely light on story. Mm-hmm. You drop in, it's like, okay, you're in this island area, and in the center of it is Agency Tower or whatever. It's the Avengers Tower, and you are a super cop.
Yeah.
And you will help defeat bad guys by any means necessary.
You're busting crime.
Yeah, you're busting crime. You're cracking down on crime.
Oh, fuck. That's why it's called that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. It's cracking down on crime. I can see why so many people love Crackdown 1. Mm-hmm. The thing I remember from people playing Crackdown 1 is them being like, the story is so amazing. And I'm like, what are you talking about? The story doesn't exist. The story is you are RoboCop, beat bad guys, and then with this game coming out, 2005?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I'm just going to spoil the ending to Crackdown 1. You're the bad guy the whole time. And it's such an ass pull. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, by the way, even though we said we've been doing good, actually, we made the gang strong. We made the people so terrified of crime that they'll accept being controlled. Like, you're the bad guy. It's like, it's such a dumb twist.
Yeah, but you have to remember, when people played that game, they were kids, right?
I guess, yeah. Right? Like, I was...
Like, if you were 15 and you played that, you'd be like, holy shit!
Right? And yeah, I guess playing it now, I'm just like, what story? This is just go beat the bad guys.
You're closer to 30 than you are to 20.
What are you talking about?
Like, come on.
I'm in 20. It's 2 is in my age.
What's the second number?
No, don't worry about it. It just says 2 there. That's all that matters. Shit. I got another year of this.
No, you're not 29, are you?
I'm turning 29.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're older than I thought. Okay, yeah.
All right. I'm turning 29.
All right, 2 years. Okay, yeah. Okay.
So, oh, what the fuck? So, yeah, like, that game is fun, but it is all style, no substance. Like, it is just, the DLC weapons are good at the beginning, but they ultimately become useless once you get the 2 rocket launchers.
Mm.
Once you get the homing rocket launcher and just the straight line rocket launcher, it's like game over, baby. It's just, just go for it.
Okay.
But yeah, it was a fun time. Probably took about 7 hours to beat.
Oh, that's shorter than I thought.
Yeah, it's not bad.
I guess we're doing it as a team.
Yeah, we're doing it as a team, and also we just mainlined it. Like, eventually when we got strong enough, we're like, okay, you go to one side of the island, I'll go to the other side, we'll just beat bosses separately.
Yeah.
Right?
You could do that. I forgot.
Yeah. And the best way to beat bosses, just kick them.
Uh-huh.
Just roundhouse kick them forever.
Yeah, until it's over, yeah.
Yeah. So that was cool. And then I've just still been playing a lot of Sekiro. I'm not done it yet, but I'm at a pretty hard portion. I think I'm near the end of the game, I want to say. Mm. It's no joke. I just got to a certain story point where I had to make a decision. And because I made a certain decision, I had to fight a certain boss.
And that was a hard boss.
That boss was so hard, it took me 2 hours.
Did you have to put the controller down and walk away?
I did not do that. Oh, I did not do that.
Because you know that's always the solution.
It's just like, okay, I just got to shake it off.
Yeah, and come back tomorrow.
It's going to be good.
You'll be the first try.
It'll be fine. But yeah, I didn't have to do that, but it was interesting because I did feel like every time I died, like it was like a little bit of improvement and I could like see it in the health bar, right? I could see it in the boss's health bar of just like, all right, I'm getting better. Okay. I'm getting better. And so like, it never felt cheap. It was just like, okay, I need to learn these patterns. I need to learn how to manage my stamina better and stuff like that.
Mm.
And I think that, like, just that boss fight by itself, like, just strictly made me better at the game.
Cool.
Because, like, the boss fight after that was supposed to be actually harder,
mm-hmm.
but it was kind of no no issue. Like, I died a couple times, but it wasn't like cool. I died like 30 times with the other guy.
Good to hear.
Yeah. But I'm having a good time. The world is fantastic. The story is actually discernible, unlike Dark Souls,
yeah,
where it's just like I have to go watch a 40-minute lore video after I beat the game to figure out what happened. Yeah. Like, this one is like there's an actual story that you can follow, and if you dig deeper, like, you're rewarded with deeper story points and stuff like that.
Good stuff.
Yeah, it's just cool. It's just super cool. I like it a lot. And then, other than playing Apex and stuff, I think that's been my week. I just ordered, Chapters had a manga sale, pretty much. Just buy two, get one free.
Oh, wow.
So I finished the Great Teacher Onizuka Early Years manga.
Okay.
So this one's weird because, like, the original 10 volumes came out in, like, I don't know, late to mid 2000s.
Yes.
And the last 5 volumes came out like a year ago, 2 years ago.
Oh.
Like, they lost the license to it before they finished releasing everything.
Uh-huh.
And then someone else just picked up the license, translated the rest of it, and then brought them out in new books just to finish the series off.
Okay.
So my collection is like all these old, like 10 old ass volumes that are looking pretty raggedy now, and like 5 brand new, really nice volumes.
Wow.
But for people who don't know, Great Teacher Onizuka, it was originally an anime about this teacher named Onizuka and how he used to be like a delinquent. He used to be in a school gang. He was never that smart. But the principal hires him because he thinks he can give these troubled kids the education about life that they need rather than the book smart education.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like a really heartwarming comedy about just like delinquent kids who have lost their way trying to get back on the right path, and this teacher who will literally do anything to help them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, just go above and beyond. It's very inspirational, I guess, and motivational. Like, mm-hmm. I remember when I first watched it, I was like, maybe I should become a teacher. I really like it. But this one is the earlier, so it is about his time as a Boncho, as a gang member,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of losing his own way, right? But because it's about being a high school delinquent, it is about being a man's man, and like
a man's man,
yeah, being a man's man, like never backing down from your word and never turning your back on a fight, and
damn.
Like always having your bros back no matter what,
wow.
and like stuff like that. And it's like so stereotypical shonen stuff, but it's, I don't know. There's something about that style of story that I really like. It's just like two guys taking on the world, and they're going to do it their way or the highway, and like, yeah. stuff like that. It's
wow.
And they're going to, if they can't get it with their words, which they rarely do, they're going to do it with their fists. And in true anime fashion, shit gets wild.
Hmm.
Like car explosions wild. But I really enjoy it. It's a really fun look at the previous life of Onizuka. And it's actually like one of the very few prequels I've read or watched that isn't trash. Like, usually if the original that is here,
isn't trash.
Yeah, like if the original comes out and it's good and they want to tell the backstory, usually it's never as good as the original. But I would say that the early years is probably on par. At,
yeah, you're right. Prequels are never as good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Except for the Star Wars ones. You know, pod racing. Now this is pod racing.
Oh, man, you're true. That's right. That is pinnacle Star Wars. That's peak Star Wars.
This is pod racing.
Yeah. Zimbulba. Zimbulba.
Misa. but that's been my week. I've been experimenting more with like cooking and stuff. Just expanding my repertoire of cooking.
Is that a euphemism for porn?
No, it's just cooking. Oh. Like I've been cooking different spaghetti dishes.
I'm sure you have.
Oh, I have. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? Why did I say it like that? What does that mean? Yeah, just
disgusting.
Yeah, just working on like life skills, I guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been
fruitful.
It's been fruitful.
Mm. Yeah. Good.
Yeah, it's been good.
Good. Great.
It's my week.
Awesome. And I think that's a show.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Peace out.
Bye.
Wait, do we have anything else?
No.
Okay, bye.